John chapter 6. So Jesus took fish, a bag lunch, if you will, a sack of lunch of fish and bread, and fed 5,000 men plus women and children. Now that's a miracle. Can we all agree that's a miracle? That's incredible. All right? And then after he fed them, he sent them away. He sent the apostles to go across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus goes out there to meet them later in the night after he has some prayer time. And he walks on water. And why did he walk on water? Didn't have a boat, all right? He walked on water to show us that no matter what we're drowning in, he's above it. He's in control. He's on top of it. And so he gets across the sea with the apostles, and the people followed him there. And in verse number 25, when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And he said, verse 26, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Now that's an incredible statement. You have missed the point, is what he's saying to him. You know, we have our lives, and we have pretty good lives, don't we? How many of us have some struggles in our lives? Sure. But how many of us are blessed beyond understanding? Hey, man, we're good. How is that? Well, I went to work when I was 14. I've had a job ever since. Okay, that's good. But do you understand that God has been a part of that? By the way, I believe in working. I believe you ought to get a job and work hard at that job, be honest and have integrity. I believe in that. I believe in education. I believe you ought to get a good education and put it to work. You know, don't take basket weaving as your major unless you're in the basket industry. You know, there are rights and there are wrongs, but I believe we need to be industrious and we need to be hard workers. People need to see Jesus in our work ethic too. But understand something. God has been good to us. And he says to them, yeah, you ate, but that's the reason you follow me is just because of what I've given you. Because your belly's full and you want to get your belly full again, so here you are again. But you miss the fact that heaven is involved in that. You miss the fact that the Son of God did that. That the reason you were able to get full on this little lunch that wouldn't have fed two people is because Jesus blessed it and multiplied it and fed thousands. Probably over 15,000, but they only count the men, so it says 5,000. They wanted, in verse number 28, you see what it says, they said to him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? They're interested. Because in their mind, the works of God would be feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, you know, all the kind of social things that we are, you know, in favor of. But people can get too focused on taking care of the physical and the material and overlook the spiritual. Let me tell you why the church is here. The church is not here to cover your power bill, your rent, your insurance, your gas, your medical bills. The church is not here for that. I'm glad we can do that. I'm glad we do that sometimes for some people. You know, you find yourself in need, we take care of our people. We believe in that. One of the worst things we could have ever done is put charity in the hands of government. Because now we're being charitable to Ukraine and Gaza and all around the world, and we got people in our country starving and homeless, and that's a shame, and that shouldn't be the case. Happy 4th of July, right? Happy. You come to Independence Day, we got a flag, I'm wearing red, white, and blue, we got to have something in there for America, right? But the church can get so focused on the material needs of people and the physical needs of people that they overlook the spiritual needs of people. And right here it's showing that when we're only taking care of them materially and physically, that that's all they see. They miss the spiritual value. It's so important. And I have people come to me and say, you know, can the church help me? And I say, well, where do you go to church? Well, I don't go to church. Well, then how do you come to the church for help and you don't participate? You know, there's no history of you giving to the church at some point where the church would have something to give. Where do you think that the funds of the church come from? It comes from the people in the church. And, you know, I had somebody ask me one time, how do y'all get funded? They thought the government paid for the churches. That's the last thing we need is a government's hand in the church. Anyway. I'm glad we can help the physical and material needs of our people sometimes. But let's not ever get caught up in that part of ministry so we overlook the spiritual. And let's make sure that we always put the spiritual into that as we're helping them, as we're doing for them. Make sure that they know these blessings are from God and that they need to give God the praise, not the church the praise, but God the praise in what they did. These people say, we want to do that too. They're missing. They don't understand. They don't understand. They just want to get involved in the physical work. There's a lot of physical work that needs to be done. But the church is called for spiritual work. We're here to help people come to know God and to walk with God in life and in faith. And yes, to get to heaven. We're here to get people to heaven. But we want them to not wait to get to heaven to walk with God. God's not just in heaven. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus said, I'll be with you. I'll be in you. The Holy Spirit of God, when we trust Christ as our Savior, God's presence dwells within us. That's what we should be talking about. They didn't comprehend the reason Jesus could do the things he could do is because he's the Son of God. In verse number 30, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Hold on. Y'all the ones just got your belly full when he fed you. Always want something more. Look at verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. Again, they're open, they're willing. I wish that people today were so open and willing to whatever Jesus has for us. Jesus said, y'all are focused on, again, the physical, the manna, the bread, the fish. He said, the true bread that the Father gives you is he which came. And then he lays this down on them. In verse number 35, I am the bread of life. Jesus says, the manna was pointing toward me. The bread from heaven is he which came down. And that's me. That's what he said. They said, give us the bread. He said, it's me. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Again, we're not talking about physical. We're not talking about material. We're talking about spiritual. If somebody gets saved, trust Jesus as your Savior, we don't go looking to find out what Buddha's all about or what Muhammad's all about. Or Hare Krishna is all about. We don't go out there looking for some new religion. Why? Because we got the real deal. We have the God of heaven, the creator of the universe, living inside of us. He's not, you know, locked inside of us, but we have his presence through the Holy Spirit. He says, I am the bread of life. Verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. These same people who had their bellies filled with his bread and fish the day before are now murmuring because he said, I'm the bread of life, which came down from heaven. Why did they not like that? Because it conflicted with the religion they knew. It conflicted with their traditions. We have got to be willing to give up everything to accept what God has for us. You know, I've been Baptist before I was born. I was in a Baptist church. But I have had to change my beliefs within Baptist over my lifetime. Because I was taught some things in the church where I grew up, and I love my pastor, and I love my church, but they were wrong on some stuff. And I've had to grow, and I've had to change. And I stand before you today as the pastor of this church, having pastored for 32 years, and say to you that I still am open to whatever God does. And I'm not locked in. I mean, I'm locked in on the Word of God. I'm open to what God has for me. I'm not looking for a new religion. I'm not looking to change anything about what I believe. But if God shows me I'm wrong, I will adjust. And if we're not willing to do that, we're dead already. We've got to be willing to adjust. Here are these people so caught in their religion and their tradition, they got a man standing before them. Number one, they say, how did you get here? If they would have asked the apostle would have said, he walked on the sea. That was pretty impressive. They already had their bellies full with his food and took leftovers away. But now, because of something he said, I'm, you know, the bread of life, I'm the Son of God. That they can't handle. As we've got to get our minds open to God. They murmured because he said, I'm the bread of life. They said in verse 42, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? Because Mary conceived as a virgin of the Holy Ghost. And it wasn't until after she had Jesus that Joseph knew her in that way. And so if they'd have done a little research, they'd find out that this was a miracle. If they had any Old Testament knowledge, they would have seen that he was born in Bethlehem just as it was prophesied. And all of the miracles around that. But they just put up their guard and they said, we don't want it. Verse number 60, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. Did you notice that? Two words in there. Who murmured at it? Over in verse number 41, it said the Jews murmured. In verse number 60, in verse number 61, it says his disciples murmured. Those are church people. These are people who've been with him. These are people who've sat under him teaching. I mean, I can understand modern day, you don't like the preacher and so you leave. This was Jesus. His disciples turned away. He said, does this offend you? What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? He said, what's going to happen? And he didn't say the crucifixion and the resurrection. What's going to happen when I go back? Don't you know there were people standing there when he ascended up into heaven? It is, verse 63, it is a spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit, they are life. Think about that. You know, how do we convince ourselves to do things that our body doesn't want to do? We take courage. We talk ourselves into it. We get psyched up, as we say. Or we're, you know, led by God, motivated by the will of God. And we decide, I better get up. It's not going to do itself, is it? If I don't get out there and start doing it, it's just not going to get done. So we get ourselves out of bed and go do it. He said, it's the spirit. It's that it's within us, not the body that convinces us. It's the spirit that convinces us. God in us, giving us life and giving us purpose and giving us joy and hope and love and forgiveness. The Spirit. God's words are life. Feeling depressed? Read your Bible. Feeling discouraged? Read your Bible. Feeling isolated? Read your Bible. Feeling lonely? Read your Bible. No one ever cared for you like Jesus. Get in the Word. Read the Bible. Verse 66, From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So in 41, some left, and 61, some left, and 66, some left. But the word it used in 66 says many. Too many. That's a hard saying. I don't know if I could take that. Jesus said, nobody can come to me unless the Father draws him, unless the Father sends him. So then he looks at the 12, the apostles, the ones who he called out and named them apostles, which gives the idea, it doesn't say it, but it gives the idea they're the only ones left. Because everybody else said, we don't want to listen to this anymore. He called himself the Son of God. He said God the Father sent him down here. Oh, he's too much. Jesus looks at the 12 and 67 and says, will you also go away? Y'all going to leave too? Are we going to start completely over now? By the way, nothing wrong with starting over. Sometimes it's the only option we've got. Starting over. Find a new path. Find a new way. You see, the problem is they had followed him, but they weren't willing to go all the way. There are a lot of people like that in church today, aren't there? There are places that call themselves churches, but they only go halfway with God. You know, they appreciate the church songs as long as it's the kind of songs they like. They believe in good works as long as it's the good works they believe in. But they won't surrender themselves to God. They won't even accept the whole Bible. You know what? I believe that whole thing. All of it. I believe it from cover to cover, and I believe the cover. I believe it all. If you're here this morning, you say, well, there's some things in there I don't believe in. You're just like these other guys that say, well, that's too hard. We can't accept that. I will admit to you today, there are some things in the Bible that are hard to understand. There are some things in the Bible that you've got to dig deep and study hard in order to comprehend it. But don't you just read it on the surface and say, I'm done. I can't believe in that anymore. Dig a little deeper. You're going to find out God loves you just as much now as he ever did. And God is just as good in the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament. God is good all the time. He's been good to us. But they say, well, we can't go that far. We can only believe part of what you want. That's the problem with churches today. They don't believe in the whole counsel of God. People want to celebrate sin, the unrepentant. And somehow, now the so-called churches embrace that stuff and say it's okay. Let me tell you what a church should be. It should be this right here. This is what we should teach. And if there's something in here you don't agree with, then you know you need to change. There might be some things in there that we don't like. You know, God tells us stories about murder and adultery and war and incest, all kinds of ugly, nasty things in there. You know why he did that? To show us that these are real people and that some of them are wicked. That's why. He put it in the book. It's not pretty. We don't talk about it a lot. But the truth is, there were wicked people then, just like there's wicked people now. We need to accept the whole counsel of God, the whole Bible, the whole Bible. Verse 68, he says this, Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Simon Peter says, I know that's why they left, but the reason they left is the reason we're staying. Isn't that incredible? The reason they left is the reason we're staying. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe it, and we're sure of it. I want you to consider that question that Simon Peter asked. To whom shall we go? Let me ask you this. Just regular walking sense reveals to us that this life will end at some point. We regularly have funerals, and whether it's in a church house or at a funeral parlor or at a graveside, a cemetery. Sometimes we don't even do that. We, you know, take their ashes and scatter them over the sea or at the mountains or the whatever. You know why we do that? Because people die. And we are sure of this, that every one of us, at some point, whether near or far, we're going to die. Let me ask you this. How are you going to get in heaven? There's only one way. It's not through baptism, not through church membership, not through giving your offerings, not through good works, not through feeding the hungry or clothing the naked. It's one way, and that is by saying, God, I know I am a sinner, and I know Jesus died for me. God, I ask you to forgive my sins, save my soul. I put my trust in you. I give my life to you. In the name of Jesus. It doesn't have to be exactly those words, but to some extent, we have to express that we are sinners and that we ask forgiveness and that we trust Jesus as our Savior. Jesus said, are you going to leave? Is it getting too hard? Are there some doctrines in the Bible that are chasing you away? Some things you just can't accept? No, some things you won't accept. And Simon says, the reason they're leaving is the reason we're staying. We believe you're God. We believe you're the Son of God. We believe you're the Christ. We believe you're the Savior. And we know you're the one that's got the answers. Where are we going to go? Where else are we going to turn? We're not going to compromise. We're going to trust the Lord, and we're going to believe His Word all the way through. Would you stand this morning? If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. If you'll come down here, I'll pray for you. If you want to come and kneel at the altar, you can come pray. But you can stay where you are and pray. God's listening. Would you say this morning, God, I believe the whole Bible. I accept the whole Bible. If there's anything in it I disagree with, I'm sorry, and I'm going to change my heart, change my ways. I surrender to you. There is no other place for me. I put my trust in you. Glad you're here today. Are you glad you came?
Amen.
I bet we have some fried chicken back there. I don't know what all we have in the fellowship hall, but I hope you will stay for lunch. Please stay for lunch. I'm sure there's enough for everybody. And because some of us aren't even eating that much anymore. So the rest of you, I hope the rest of you brought your appetites. Glad you came. Thankful for our visitors, first time especially. We're glad you came today. Hope you'll come back. Tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, and of course, Independence Day is Thursday. Let's celebrate. That's why we're red, white, and blue. Even got my socks on. But we're always patriotic. We love America, don't we? God bless America. By the way, tonight's message is going to be really focused and centered on Independence Day. So if you're able to, if you're not able to be here, tune in online. All right? Anything else? God, we love you. We're thankful for your blessings and pray you will use us for your glory. Bless the food we're about to enjoy and the fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.